Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
New week on the Sleepers Podcast. Hope everybody had a great weekend. It's Monday, April 29th, and we're back. I don't have a funny nickname for Carter today. How are you, Kat?
I'm good. Are we going to address the fact that it's already going to be May?
Hart Briles.
Is that the Baylor football coach?
Yeah, who was embedded in many scandals.
Was it scandals involved with paying players?
No, I think it was like bad morality things. Let me look it up real quick.
You know, no Sleepers episode is underway and or complete until we get to the bottom of Art Briles' history as Baylor head coach.
Yeah, it says, what did disgraced Baylor coach do? Briles coached at Baylor, but was fired in 2016 after an investigation into how the program handled multiple sexual assault claims against players. Records show that over the years, he had 52 accusations of covering up for 31 players.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to throw out another nickname, or we can't make it through this episode. You got to come up with something.
Josh Cart?
How about Wendell Carter?
Josh Cart was 0-for-7 from the floor today.
Yeah, also regular Carter had Josh Hart three threes to finish the same game parlay, and he hit zero.
That's tough. Zero. That's really tough. Okay, off to a clunky start this week, but here we are. Why don't you try to get us on track with the YouTube comment of the day?
I'm doing the sound just because I want to do the sound. Let's see what we have here. Let me find a comment. You know what? Some bad language in the comments. I want to point that out. I don't know if YouTube like is supposed to filter those out, but let's try to keep this a family-friendly program. My nephews look at that stuff, so let's just be careful with that. Let's go with this one. This comes from Davo Flats, and I think it's maybe aimed at us, but more so Gregory. Here we go again, claiming someone else was the best player on the floor against UConn. This was on the Kadari Richmond video. You could claim that one game and one game only, and it was when Klingon got hurt. Y'all really need to stop with that. Let me address this really quickly here. This goes to UConn fans, to Stores Nation, whatever you want to address yourself as. One, we have done nothing but respect your team this whole season and talked about how good you were, or the previous season, what it was. I think you guys get it mixed up where it's like we're saying that the best player on the floor might be on the other team. That has nothing to do with how great UConn is. It's because y'all got five of the best players on the floor at all the times, and y'all also win those basketball games. So stop getting hung up on that. I'm tired of explaining ourselves in that. Like, we got to explain why Mason Gillis matters, and then we got to explain why we said that some player might be the best player on the floor against UConn. That has nothing to do with the outcome of the game. That's why UConn's so great. That's why they're back-to-back champions.
So, okay. I'm willing to entertain, listen to, acknowledge, maybe accept from UConn fans that at times this season I underestimated their players. I'm willing to entertain that thought process because I did incorrectly preview NCAA tournament games against UConn where I said the other team would have the best player on the floor. I said Boo Boo would be the best player on the floor. I said Terrence Shannon would be the best player on the floor. I was wrong repeatedly as UConn and the sum of their parts, their many great players, just destroyed, just eviscerated teams with one great player over and over and over again. And Stephon Castle's defense was a big part of that. With all of that said, it's undisputable that when Kadari Richmond and Seton Hall beat UConn 75-60 on Wednesday, December 20th, 2023, in the Prudential Center, and Kadari Richmond had 23 points and 6 rebounds and 5 assists and 8 steals. He was not the best. Like, he was the best player on the floor. He was the best player on the floor that night. It happened. The best player on UConn that night was Tristan Newton, who had 16 points, 1 assist, and 6 turnovers. That's in a 15-point loss. He got outplayed by Kadari Richmond. Donovan Clingan, yes, he got hurt, whatever. He had 14 points and 3 fouls in 14 minutes. Whether he got hurt or not, he wasn't the best player in the game, partially because he got hurt. He wasn't out there. So, like, that's not an arguable take from me. I'm willing to take criticism for wrong takes. I don't think that one's a wrong take. I think it's just a fact, but I appreciate the comment. And also, Cart, it's a really bad start in response to that. This is fake positivity week for me.
Are we still doing that?
I'm doing that. You don't have to. You can do whatever you want. But this is a week of fake positivity for me. Now, with that said, I also have to be like a showrunner. So, like, for those that don't know, like, I usually lead coming up with the topics for these shows. I usually lead the production side of these shows. So that's going to change this week. We're going to get some help in. Point is, I got to focus on my hosting, my on-microphone words. And for 1 week, I'm going to give a fake positivity week a trial, because all I'm hearing from everybody around my life, in Twitter, in YouTube comments, in the Discord channels, the Kentucky channel, the Illinois channel, the Purdue channel, the Michigan State channel, shit, even the Michigan channel. All I'm hearing is that I just have it out for every single team and every single player in the country. So, with your blessing, of course, I'm looking for your blessing. I'm looking for you to pull rank. I would like to do fake positivity week for myself personally this week.
You 100% can, but only if you answer me this question. You been lifting lately?
I have, yeah.
Your traps look good.
Thank you.
They look more like, you know. Yeah.
Thank you. Is that you also taking part in fake positivity
week? No, that's real. That's real. I can't fake positivity. It's not, I tried it. I can't do it.
That would have been a great little moment to start your fake positivity reinforcements. All right. So we'll give it a week. We'll see. Maybe people will like me more at the end of this week. We'll give it a trial. And then next week I can come back to being Cruella DeVille in male podcast form. Okay. To the show. We have comments from the Discord. Monday episodes usually include a lot of comments from the Discord because we have to go back and get everything from the weekend. So bear with us here. Join the Discord, as always. We'd love to see you in there. $9.99 a month. There's a link in the description of this video. And we have some very special ideas in store for the Discord over the next couple months, Cart, that involve getting some player guests on the program, maybe allowing some interaction, some interactivity from Discord members to players in some creative ways. So stay tuned to that. Let's get to the questions. Rowlett, Texas Boiler starts us off. No, he doesn't. Toon starts us off. Forgive me if this has been clarified before, but do the hanging jerseys or jersey numbers have significance? Will another jersey ever go up?
Are you talking about the jerseys behind? I think he's talking about the jerseys behind you.
I thought he would start with your number 34 Albion jersey behind you.
Oh, that the only significance is that is my jersey. For those of you who don't know, many of you should know, I did play D3 basketball. I played at Albion College. 3-year starter, as Greg likes to cut me off in years in that case. But yeah, I was a Brit, small school in Michigan. And they gave us that, I think, actually, no. You know what? My wife got that for me as a gift. She actually went to my college coach and asked for the jersey, and he gave it to me gave it to her because, you know, I did things for that university, that college. And she framed it for me and got it for me as a gift, I think, probably like 2017, maybe 2018.
Well, for my money, first of all, Albion, not a small school. You said small school in Michigan. I wouldn't necessarily frame it as that. And for my money, you're one of the most underrated players to play college basketball at any level in the last 20 years.
At any level?
Any level. Any level. In the I would say 20 years, you're probably in the top 10, 15 most underrated players.
Right, because you got to factor on and off court, right?
Well, yeah, I'm just talking on court. If we want to talk off court, then like transcendent. But I think people give you credit for that. On court, though, you do not get the credit you deserve.
I agree, Greg. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. For me, the jersey's behind me. This is just a Hall of Fame for me in my mental state. I elect players to my Hall of Fame, and then I buy a jersey to let them be represented in my Hall of Fame. I have one new inductee whose jersey is not up yet, but it will be added to, and it will be prominently featured in the future. That's Bu'Darius Lamar Bowie Jr. Of course, everybody expects that, but... right now it's like Malik Monk, Carmelo Anthony, Lonzo Ball, Gordon Hayward. I have various heartstring reasons. All of them are up there. Carmelo's my first favorite player ever. Malik Monk, like, self-explanatory, but come on. Like, that whole year was just like an on-fire moment. Lonzo Ball is one of my favorite college point guards ever. Big baller brand. Stellar. And Gordon Hayward, the first Final Four I ever attended as a fan was the Gordon Hayward Duke National Championship game. And I sat right behind the hoop that he missed the full court shot to. From my seat, looked like it was going in, and that endeared him to me forever.
Yeah. Will the setup change with the move happening? Is there gonna be a shuffling of jerseys?
It's gonna have to change. The whole room's gonna change. I don't know what it's gonna look like yet, but I'm in charge of getting a contractor in to help with this because I have some ideas. I want a setup, not to go into too much detail, but I want to have like a desk setup that looks something like this, maybe with a different backdrop. And then I want to be able to have like a two chair setup, maybe different camera angles. Honestly, something similar to what Spiro has on the Spiro Avenue show, which is a super nice setup. Mine doesn't need to be that nice, but I would like the ability to like have, like if you come visit, I want to be able to record and have it look nice.
Yeah. Branded water bottles would slap.
That would be good. Jay Hart, formerly Cooked, says we need an intervention with Guy.
The thing is, this is why we don't have an intervention with Guy, because if we would have put the reins on him somewhat or reeled him back in, we're not getting legendary graphics like he gave us tonight. Mm-hmm. That's why you just got to let him rock. He's got to take it for what it is. Like, I'm not sure who the player comp is, but like, you're going to get some wild stuff. He's a Jordan Poole-esque player without the riz, because I don't know if he's got that in his game. But you just got to let them rock, and you're going to get some great moments. You're going to get some head-scratching ones, but you just got to let them rock. Let the young bull rock.
Yeah, you got to let Guy be Guy. I would compare him to J.R. Smith, but I think Guy would prefer being compared to like a more anonymous mid-major. So I'll think on that for a little bit. But yeah, you're never going to get full Guy if you don't let Guy just be full Guy, give him creative freedom. And Guy went viral tonight. It was a stellar performance. Honestly, one of the better Guy moments in Guy history, as far as I'm concerned tonight. So no interventions coming for Guy anytime soon. Jesse says, with four new teams joining the Big Ten, are you guys planning on doing crappy Pac-12 to the crappy Big Ten team profiles to reach out to potential new sleepers?
I don't know if we're going to be new sleepers. Why do I feel like that's trying to replace us?
We are very, well, you're not. I'm very replaceable. You are irreplaceable, as I've told you many
times. You're not. We're not going to dive into this, but you are not replaceable.
Oh, sir. Do you know how many mediocre white men with a microphone are available? I could call seven right now. You just let me know what height you want them to be. I've got a whole profile. Jesse has another question. Additionally, he was watching the Cubs game. After home runs, they still play Whoop, There It Is. Is it time for an update? Also, what would your song be after a home run?
Ooh. I mean, currently, it would have to be a Drake song for me after a home run, just because, shout out to the Six God. I would probably have it on rotation, honestly, just like Drake, Apple Music Essentials Shuffle. Having push-ups play after I hit a home run be pretty fire. I also like to make a statement that I think Wrigley Stadium, is that what it's called? Wrigley, whatever. I think it's kind of
Wrigley Field.
Wrigley Field, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, I almost called it Wrigleyville because that's the city area around it. Hmm. I think Wrigley's just overrated in general. I think it's just old.
Just wanted to collect myself there for a moment. I love Wrigleyville. That's
You
not.
love Wrigley. That's the thing. You love Wrigleyville.
I
You don't
love
love
Wrigley
Wrigley.
Field. I love Wrigley
No,
Field.
you don't love
I've
Wrigley.
only been inside Wrigley Field once, and I loved it.
What's your favorite memory from Wrigley?
The last time that I went to Wrigley Field, I got a Wrigley dog, which was fantastic. I sat in right field. It was lovely. I had about three tall beers with a great friend.
Still friends with that guy?
Yeah, we're going to visit him in Baltimore in like 2 weeks. It was lovely. I saw Kevin Sweeney and Drew and got tequila shots about an hour before. The whole thing was fantastic.
But Wrigley, you could have done that same experience without Wrigley.
But Wrigley added to the experience. It was a great time. First song, for some reason, Bottoms Up is coming to mind for me right now. I'm rounding first base and I hear yeah, we'll sing you cup.
Can
The cup. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
I get
that.
that trunk? Can I get that Henny? Can I get that phone? Can I
Can
get
I
that
get
Henny?
that?
Can I
Can
get
I
that
get that? Fuck around.
song? Can I get that song?
Yeah, it's a bar. Nicki had like a year-long run between that and the Monster verse. People don't want to talk about it,
They
but
also
I'll
don't
talk
want
about it.
you also don't want to mention the fact that the Moment for Life verse is in there as well.
In about a 12-month span, she had Moment for Life, Monster, Bottoms Up. And people don't want to talk about that.
They
I'll
don't.
talk about it. I
I will.
will. It's because boom, ba doom, boom, boom, ba doom, boom, bass was also in that span. I understand. I get it. Let's move on.
I
Melba
get
says,
it.
I love how half of the predictions in the Stand On Business channel are turning into thinly or not so thinly veiled jabs at other Discord members. Yeah, we do have a channel in the Discord. I don't know how this came to be. I think Koi created it. It's called Stand On Business, where you can submit your predictions and they will be etched into Sleeper's history for the remainder of time. You also can't like just have a bunch of responses in there. Other threads can get kind of muddied up by too much interaction. In Stand On Business, you can just send what your prediction is and nobody can really do anything with it other than see it and throw an emoji reaction onto it. Do you like the Stand On Business channel? And follow up, have you even noticed that there's a Stand On Business channel?
I have, and I've been taking mental notes slash screenshots of ones that I want to revisit.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Do you like that it's turned into a lot of jabs at each other from members of our Discord?
Yes.
You're pro conflict?
I am pro conflict, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that's a sign of a healthy community when people know each other well enough to take jabs. That's a good thing.
I mean, if you think about it, you list out your top five greatest communities, we're not going to do it. But they all have some type of conflict involved.
I mean, my wife's book club is a pretty great community. I don't know if there's a conflict there.
Oh, there's conflicts.
What is it?
Well, what about the conflict of the fact that they don't read books?
My wife doesn't read books?
No, your wife does. I think the rest of the book club is a little bit fraudulent.
It's a crazy accusation, first
It's
of
a
all.
communication club, it's not a book club.
Let's not do two straight episodes of us shitting on each other's wives. That did catch us some heat on Friday.
That did.
Should we address that one?
No, I don't want to address it whatsoever.
Do either of us want to retract any statements? Do you have any updated words or thoughts on my wife's baking skills?
I love my wife and I love your wife.
Okay, I would just like to say I apologize to the vegan community, excuse
Thank you.
me. I did just want to keep it real. I don't want any beef with y'all vegans. I don't. But I know you make great tasting cookies that I would never be able to tell taste different. Shout out to Meg. Guy says, is Bo Nix just Cormac Ryan with a lower IQ score?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. I think Bo Nix is more talented. Guy then says, daily high major comment to prove my sanity day one. I really think it needs to be mentioned how well Mick and the Bruins did this offseason. Going in, I was told the top targets were Daly, Bilodeau, Kyle, and a point guard. They got all those needs. Last on the offseason checklist is Cliff Amorier. I don't know who three of those things are.
Guy, I love you, man. I truly do. I love that you test me. You test my patience. I just got done praising you, and then you fire off that comment. And I just appreciate you for that. That's all I gotta say.
You're also not getting Cliff Amorier, but you should try. You definitely could get him. You could. Eric NJ Boiler 96 says, shouldn't the Fab 5 2.0 have been the first answer? Weber Rose, the former Michigan coach that shall not be named, Jimmy King were drafted. Eric Riley was the backup center and was drafted. Was I going too far back for this question? How about the Leitner, Bobby Hurley, Grant Hill, Duke squad? This is in response to our segment on Friday where we speculated what other college cores would have been great together in the NBA. I do think he's right. The Fab Five is probably the best answer in the last 30 years.
Yeah, I think we cut it off at a certain time, though.
Yeah, not saying you are dating yourself, Eric, but we were infants during that era.
Yeah, massive infants,
big infants. I mean, you were a large infant.
I wasn't that large of an infant.
No, it was late growth spurt for you.
Yeah, late growth spurt for me. I think
you don't know.
No, I really have no idea how much I weighed or how tall I was at birth.
Okay.
But, like, judging from pictures, I didn't look that big.
All right. Confused Illini fan says, when is Cartel Jr. coming into the fold? That will be a truly historic day.
You know what? One day that day will come. I can't tell you when. But hopefully one day it does come.
Do you hope that it's soon, or are you, like, a 7 years down the line guy?
You know, I kind of want to bring a child into a winning environment. And I don't know if I'm in a current winning environment. I got the Lions, but no one else involved in my life is winning. Like, Michigan State football is not. Michigan State basketball is letting me down. Pistons. I need to bring my child into the world as a winner. And right now, this environment is not conducive to that.
In the world's defense, this upcoming year is the year for all those teams. Like, Michigan State football looks great on paper. Michigan State basketball loses Tyson Walker but gets Frankie Fiddler. They're going to be better. Detroit's going to get probably the number one pick, add him into a super talented young core. Like, I see playoffs at least a couple rounds. So, you know, by like 9 months is what a pregnancy takes usually.
Typically.
Sometimes.
Should I get to it?
I wouldn't hate it if you did. I mean, there is like a window here where, you know, my daughter's about to be one. I think I'd be cool with her marrying down like a year. But anything more than that, I'd have to have a conversation.
What's the next comment?
Malik Perry says, I would have loved to be in the room when Pope Tomas Izzo III told AJ, you don't have a spot next year on this team.
We already know what that looked like, right? You know that, right?
What did it look like?
It was just like the game on the benches at Ohio State. All right, bro. All right. Yeah, I'll leave. I got it. I'm not the point guard here anymore. All right. I'll leave. I didn't get shot last year. All right.
Are his eyes always closed?
Yeah, semi. Just like, all right. All right, coach. Like, all right. You just chat. You just talking now. Is what you brought me in here for? All right.
It's a really good impression. Yeah, I loved the AJ graduation picks this weekend.
Why did you love them?
Well, you saw them.
I did.
They were great, man. They were just good. It's great to see someone excel on and off the court in the classroom, you know. Malik Perry also says, if Izzo's not going to use that scholarship, might as well get Sissoko back. I'm looking forward to Sissoko's new school, though.
Okay. On a very actual serious note, if we were not going to add a center, we literally should have kept Mahdi. Dead ass. For real.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I'm 100% believe in that. I don't know if people would agree with me. But if we were not gonna, leave that roster spot open. One, why? Two, I would have much rather just took Mahdi back.
Yeah, I agree. Second question from Malik. He says, "What does Braden Smith have to average to be an All-American?"
The thing is, like, I feel like his team success is gonna have to factor into that. But let's say they're a top 15 team, right? Let's call it that. They're a top 15 team all year. They have success. And he averages 16-6-6. I think he's an All-American.
If he's 16-6-6, he might be the National Player of the Year. Those are stupid numbers.
What do you think he's? What do you think he has to average?
I think if he does exactly what he did last season, but Edie's gone and Purdue's still a good team, he's an All-American.
Really?
Yeah, he averaged All-American numbers this year: 12, 6, and 7.5. 7.5 assists on great percentages, by the way. 43% from three, 80% from the free throw. Like, just do that again. But Zach Edey's gone. The guy that everybody says you can't do it without, do exactly what you did this season. Purdue will be like a 4 seed instead of a 1 seed. And I think he will probably very quickly be an All-American. Malik has more comments here. He says, I feel kids should pick teams of their own free will, no influence from anyone. I feel sorry seeing kids wearing bad team jerseys. Remind me of when people dress up pets or treat them like kids. It's animal. It don't need a stroller or in a purse. Another thing, seeing a big ass kid in a stroller don't sit right with me. Get your big ass up and walk. Final one from Malik here, who says, why does everyone think I would win Hunger Games or something like that? I would be the only person to not worry about.
Do we ever take a moment to appreciate that Malik is in the Discord, or do we just like take him for granted?
We definitely take him for granted. I don't think I do, though. I try to always appreciate him on a day-to-day basis.
I think I need to do that more.
Yeah,
I'm gonna work on that.
You have him blocked still, right?
No, I unblocked him. I unblocked him. I did.
Oh, so he won.
Yeah, he won. He did. Now admit he won.
I mean, as you should. He did it was a great performance from him. Guy is back with a daily high major comment to prove my sanity day two. Cliff Amorier should go back to Rutgers before they find Brandon Garrison money somewhere. If he goes back, they could have a shot at a Final Four.
Not the worst thing he's ever said.
No, not at all. It's a really good comment.
Why did Cliff leave Rutgers again?
Money.
Well, just find some money.
Why did Paul Mulcahy and Cam Spencer leave Rutgers?
Money.
That's okay. All it is. Why are Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper going to Rutgers is a better question. It ain't money.
That the assistant that they love?
And just Ron Harper Jr. But like,
yeah, family.
Aren't you team money over family, though?
Yeah, I'm team money over everything.
How much money would it take for you to never talk to your sister again?
Which one?
You can define the price point for both without saying which one's which.
It really wouldn't take that much, to be honest.
Give me a number. How much money would it take in check form?
Ever again?
Yeah, and like this says nothing about like her life or her health.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's going to live her life exactly as she would if you were in it. Just you're not in it. You don't talk to her.
Okay. Probably like 10K each. I got two sisters.
That's so absurd. Can we do this exercise with more people in your life? How much would it cost for me? Because I know what we just made in the last couple of months. I got to think I'm worth more than that.
Yeah, you are. Oh, 100%. Yeah, you're definitely worth more. You're up there on my worth scale. I need you.
Okay, we don't need to answer this. I just wanted to know where I stand. Jay Meiser.
probably 2.3 mil.
Okay, 2.3. I feel great with that. I feel great. 2.3. I feel so, like, is that Kentucky money? Is that Baylor money? Is that UConn money?
Yeah, you're up there.
Okay. Jay Meisner says, how do you feel about UCLA and the Big Ten? I know based on last year, the knee-jerk reaction would be to place them at the bottom of the league, but Cronin can still be a solid coach, and they're bringing in much more proven talent. I can't help but thinking they're primed for a surprise season. Then he says, but seriously, F them. Jay Meisner is our Arizona fan, so this takes a lot from him to ask what we think of UCLA. What do you think of the Bruins?
I actually kind of like the way things are shaking out for them. Now I'm not, I've been trying to, cause I was actually texting DK about this. Cause I think he was maybe writing a piece for Spartan Rivals and he was talking about like teams outlooks and things like that. I can't find anywhere if Mara is coming back or not, for UCLA, but like assuming they get him back, I like the addition of Eric Daly. I like the addition of Kobe Johnson. I think Dylan Andrews is going to take a step this season. also a fan of Sky Clark. I think that Mick Cronin's in for a bounce back year. And we've talked about it on our episodes we've been having. Like, out of all the Big Ten new teams, I think UCLA has the best chance to be successful.
I am really, I don't want to say afraid of Mick, but I believe Mick is a great coach who more often than not will have good teams. I don't love this roster. Yes, I do. My bad. They're going to be really good. There's talent up and down. Kobe Johnson's a star in the making. Sky Clark just needs a new change of scenery, but he's got all the talent in the world. I mean, he's one of the best point guards in the country. I think this team has Final Four potential for sure. ILL Lunatic says, do you respect certain brand names more than you do others? For instance, I respect a really good Michigan State way more than I do a really good Purdue. Maybe I'm biased. It's an interesting question. I've never thought of it that way.
I never thought about that either. If a team earns respect, it's not a brand thing to me. Like, I just respect it.
So, like, if they had, let's just pick a name, Northwestern on the front of their jersey. Like, if this year's Purdue team was in Northwestern uniforms, you would not respect them any less.
No, I don't think I would. The only thing that makes me respect teams less is when I genuinely feel like they're lame.
And that's player-driven, not
local. Yeah, you like any lame or front-runner tendencies, I just can't get on board with.
One thing I would say is I think the best way for me to think about this mentally was the Final Four before the Phoenix Final Four, where it was all the quote-unquote worst teams, Florida Atlantic, Miami, San Diego State. And I think coming into that, we really disrespected Florida Atlantic more than we should have. And like maybe midway through the game, I'm not just saying this because it's Dusty. Midway through the game, I think you and I looked at each other. Like, I remember we met up for a seltzer at halftime. And we were like, FAU actually can hoop. Like, these dudes are fun. Mm-hmm. And maybe that says something about us not watching enough of them. But I think part of that was like the brand name. Like, coming into this, I'm like, this is a 9-seed Florida Atlantic. Like, that sucks. And I didn't know enough about them. I didn't give them the respect they deserved, that their players actually deserved.
Are you trying to retroactively give them credit, or do you still stand on?
I think everyone came around on them as the run happened, right? Like, coming into this year, everybody put that respect on FAU.
But right. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
At the time, like, so we were, and I still feel down about San Diego State in a way I didn't about FAU, even though San Diego State won that game. But
right.
Just more about the players than anything else. Burner says, are you guys concerned at all about UK? He's totally changed. I'm worried about my friend. I know Mark Pope has broken his soul. They are still Kentucky, and he should be proud. All I ever hear from him now is trolling. I just want to talk ball with my friend again.
Just no aura. Kentucky's just cooked, man. I'm sorry. Like, they might be good, but they're cooked.
No, they're not. They're fine. Mark Pope got a great ad tonight. We're going to do a couple transfer portal videos on Monday. This roster is in a really, really good place. Mark Pope looks cool. Everything's good. They've got a coach who can win now in March. It's going to be great. Everything's, I think, Elite Eight at minimum. Oh, Izzo's friend Jake says, how do you not toast your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Is your family in need of a toaster? I will send you one. Do you toast your PB&Js?
Do you not like toasted PB&Js?
I don't think I've had a toasted. I'm confused on where, like, you don't toast your peanut butter jelly comes from. Like, that's not the normal thing to do with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No, it's not like a, like, looking down on someone because they didn't toast their PB&J sandwich is crazy. Like, there's multiple ways to eat it. But I will say, a toasted PB&J is special. Mm. Very special.
Haven't had it. I'm sure it's fantastic. I'm sure it's much better than the sandwiches I currently make.
Next time we're in the same presence, I'm making you a toasted peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You've never steered me in the wrong direction, other than that one time in Iowa when we couldn't find a gas station. Guy says, daily high major comment to prove my sanity, day 3. It's been flying under the radar how well UCF has been loading up. Dawkins clearly knows he's on the hot seat. My favorite ad is Keyshawn Hall, but Benny Williams and Mikey Williams are good pieces too. Before I throw it to you for comment, I do just want to acknowledge Guy's really bad at this, like, in the sense of, like, oh, I'm going to prove I'm sane. Let's talk high majors. How about UCF? as his third team. That's not great, but also it is great. It's so great. This is such a great comment. I loved it. Guy, you're doing a perfect job. You're one of one. Go UCF. They're great.
Those three players that were just named, one, there's a 100% chance that either all three of them don't suit up, like one of them won't suit up, or there's a 0% chance that all three of those players finish the year on UCF's roster. Literally 0% chance.
There's a lot of peanut butter jelly dialogue after that comment. I'm not going to read much of it. It takes us to a Malik comment that says, what sandwiches taste better when toasted? Because I don't like hot cold cuts.
This kind of takes, I mean, it's an old one, but back when I was an avid Subway eater, like getting the chicken bacon ranch sub or like the sweet onion chicken teriyaki sub or Subway Club, any of those were immaculate toasted, even though it was like what he said, like cold cut meat. Getting those sandwiches toasted at Subway, amazing.
Chicken Philly, my answer.
Good answer.
Yeah, chicken
Philly. Have you ever had a chicken Philly?
I have a lot of chicken Phillies. I love love a chicken Philly, but I will, like, at Subway or Jimmy John's or any sub shop, I will get the cold cut sandwiches cold, like Malik said. But, yeah, I will occasionally, my secondary order is always a chicken Philly, and it's always toasted, and it's fantastic.
I didn't know you were a chicken Philly guy. I thought you were, like, just a plain turkey cheese guy.
No, the palate has expanded, my friend. Chicken Philly, great sandwich. Penn Station's got a great one. It's not even on the menu, but if you ask for it, they'll make it.
Penn Station fries, underrated.
So. Really, really good. Yeah. Braden Shrewsbury says, is Jalen Brunson just tall?
Jalen Brunson's a killer. I know that's a joke question, whatever that is. I just want to let it be known that dude's a bad, bad man.
Yeah, here's something I'm going to say that all the Michigan State people can, like, clip and put on Twitter if they want. Jalen Brunson is what I thought Trey Burke would be in the NBA. And it pains me every time I watch him because he's great. Don't get me wrong. He's special. What he did today on Sunday was immaculate. But I like went to my grave being like, Trey Burke's going to end up being a first team all NBA player. Like, even if it's just 1 year, it's going to happen. And Brunson is the closest thing I've seen. None of these other, like, good college point guards that are small have actually worked in the league. Brunson's the first, and when I watch him, I'm like, damn, that's what I thought Trey would be doing.
I can see that. I would actually, even as a Michigan State fan, it would have been nice, like, if Trey Burke, like, was a killer in the league.
He had a year. He really did, and then he completely fell apart after. But I remember, like, his rookie season into his sophomore season, he was, like, looking on the Brunson track, like – improvement and good numbers, and then it just completely died and fell apart. Tough.
Yeah.
Guy says, daily high major comment to prove my sanity day four. Butler really shaping up this year after Big Finley announced his return. They also swiped Colby King from Dayton at the last moment and got Pat McCaffrey. Thad Matta is having a better offseason than every Big Ten coach other than Mike Woodson.
Pat McCaffrey?
Pat McCaffrey. I did so I like that Pat McCaffrey transferred to an indie school to be closer to Caitlin Clark and his bro.
I like that too. I need this bit from Guy to die. I don't like it. You like it?
I think it's not working tonight because we had to read four of them at once. I think it'll work on a day to day.
Okay. I guess we'll take it day by day on that one.
He went viral. We're gonna let him work. Malik Perry's back. Greg, if Kansas doesn't make it far... Actually, let me read this word for word. I don't want to put words in Malik's mouth. Greg, if Kansas don't make it far in March, what's your theory on Hunter Dickerson?
There actually might be some conversations that need to be had if this team doesn't make a run in March.
Do you think he tried to say Dinkerson?
Yes. I do.
See, I think he stumbled into that accidentally, and that's what's special about Malik. I don't want to play the what if Kansas doesn't make a run in March game with this roster. I can't do this for 10 months. This roster is so good.
It's nasty.
It's too good. It would be like doing the, oh, what if Matt Painter loses again with this team? Like, why don't we just appreciate that they're really good? Kansas is going to be awesome next season. Last comment is from Guy, who says, listening to F You Mean by Gunna getting reprimanded by Greg for calling Chibuzo Agbo by his nickname instead of writing an essay, what a life to be living.
Do we have any more non-Guy or Malik comments?
No.
Can I make a motion?
Of course.
Can we get to the show?
We can get to the show. You know who the show is brought to you by, Cart?
Is it brought to you by? Is it brought to us by the good folks at MyBookie?
Of course, it's brought to us by the good folks at MyBookie. What do you like doing at MyBookie?
Well, I love that MyBookie gives me the ability to play my way and get paid easily. MyBookie has everything you need in a sports book. You have parlays, player props. I mean, you can even get expert predictions on there if you need a little bit of a tip on where to play your money at. And right now, if you go to MyBookie, you can use our promo code, that's promo code SLEEPERS, to take advantage of a first deposit bonus of up to $1,000. I didn't misspeak there, Greg, or misspoke, whatever the actual verbiage is supposed to be. Up to $1,000 if you use promo code SLEEPERS at MyBookie for a first deposit bonus. Head over to MyBookie. They're great folks over there. We use them, and you should too.
You should. It's a great ad read, Cart. Way to start the week off, right? Thanks to everybody in the comments. Let's get to the show. Three topics today. We're going to start with an interesting one, very interesting one. So remember last week when we did a whole segment on the Wisconsin beat site that claimed that Illinois had tampered with AJ Store, and then OutKick like did a breaking news piece that just linked to the Wisconsin fan sites accusations about AJ Store being that was a fun day, right?
Yeah.
Well, what do we have here? We have reports that Wisconsin has taken a player from a team that he had verbally committed to with a rather large paycheck. That's what has been said here. This is John Tonji, who started his career at New Mexico. And the rumor is he is going to end up at Wisconsin. So I'm trying to find the exact tweet, but I believe it came from Jeff Grammer originally. And it said, John Tonji had committed to play for the New Mexico Lobos last week. He will not be playing for New Mexico. Expect more to come later this week. Trilly Donovan quote tweeted this and said, classic two commitments in one spring situation. You hate to see that. Jeff Grammer quote tweeted his own tweet and said, Tonji posted on his social media accounts his commitment to play for the Lobos on Thursday. And after that, he accepted an offer to go play at Wisconsin. That is what the Albuquerque Journal learned. That's where Jeff Grammer works. So just to summarize my understanding of the situation, we have not gotten breaking news that John Tonji is committed, but my understanding of the situation, John Tonji committed to play for New Mexico. That went public with graphics and all. Tipped an edits had an edit. And then John Tonji took an offer from Greg Gard and Wisconsin and is now going to play for Wisconsin. He's silently committed. That's what we believe to be true. Your thoughts?
Greg, you have a chance to look at what John Tonji did last season?
I'd love for you to unveil that for me.
I will. There was nothing that John Tonji did last year that reached double digits.
He was hurt, though. But I do want to say that. He got hurt. That ruined his whole season.
Got it. In the time that he wasn't hurt, in the games played that he was not hurt, he averaged 10 minutes a game. He averaged 2 points, less than an assist, less than a rebound, less than everything else across the board. Did have a really good season the year before that at Colorado State for Nico Medved and the boys. Averaged 15 points a game, five rebounds. But I just, you know, we talk about this offline. I'm all for players getting their bread. Like, I really am. I think I'm one of the few ones that's just like, I don't care no matter what. Like, even if it's outrageous numbers, it just never gets to me because I'm just always like, I'm good with college athletes getting paid. That's all I care about at the end of the day. This might be like the straw that breaks the cat's back, and me being the cat in this case, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, you have this commitment, right? And you know, I'm guessing things behind closed doors were verbally agreed upon. maybe not, maybe even signed upon. And then out of nowhere, Greg Gard descends from the rafters to drop some ridiculous bag offer for him. And I don't know if I can do this anymore. It's starting to, NIL is starting to break me, Gregory.
I find it really funny that John Tonji and Greg Gard are the two people that are making everyone in this sport collectively be like, this is too much, let's stop. Like, and that's the consensus nationally. Like, any national writer's response to this was just like, this has jumped the shark. It's over. Our sport is broken. This wasn't broken until John Tonji flipped the commitment. But John Tonji flips a commitment from New Mexico to Wisconsin, and all of a sudden, this is too much. The sport's broken, and we're devastated. Going to Wisconsin for the amount that's rumored to be being paid here for John Tonji is obviously the better decision than going to New Mexico. So, like, I have no issue with John Tonji landing on that. I do have an issue with, like, you can't take anybody for their word anymore here. And I know I'm speaking broadly, but, like, if players are really just allowed to, like, commit to a coach and then a week later be like, LOL, just kidding, I'm going here. What are we doing? Like, that? What is Richard Pitino supposed to do? Like, did Richard Pitino just lose out on a week of portal recruiting because he thought John Tonji was committed? And now he's not, just because Greg Gard picked up a phone and was like, hey, whatever they're paying, we'll pay you more? Like, that's not college basketball. It can't be college basketball. If that's the way this sport is going to work, we're all screwed. Because guess what? I get that Wisconsin is backfilling guys who they lost to higher paychecks. But you can't just, like, go around calling guys that are committed and say, we'll pay you more. It's going to screw everyone. If this actually kept happening at all levels, it would ruin the entire sport. So I don't have a problem with it individually. I think it's a mass overpay. Like, again, we're not a numbers show. We don't try to say explicit numbers. The number that is being thrown around for John Tonji to Wisconsin, which we did mention in our Discord to the Wisconsin channel, is absurd. It's absurd. It is. It's not what AJ Storr or Chucky Hepburn got paid, and those numbers have gone public. It's a lot. Like, if Greg Gard's out here saying he doesn't have the money for good players, you could have spent that money on a good player that's not John Tonji. Like, I know players that have committed to other schools that are a lot better than John Tonji for a lot less money than what you're paying John Tonji. So, like, it's a total misevaluation, right? Is this just desperation from Greg Gard?
It is, but there's just so many other ways you could have gone about it. I don't know. The thing that doesn't sit right with me is not necessarily the actual dollar amount. It's the thing that led up to it. It's like, oh, we're so sick of, like, oh, we lost Chucky in store because other people paid more. Other people came out of the woodworks and paid more for them. And then this is how you allocate your money. Like, I just don't understand the thought process and the allocation of money. And that is part of the NIL game, is how you allocate your funds. And the allocation of these funds is, I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, there is this window in the sport while, like, everybody's freaking out at a broad level of, like, oh, it's just going to come down to who pays the most. There is this, like, window within the sport that believes there's a bunch of opportunity here if you are good at evaluating and you can find players that are undervalued for value. Like, we've talked to coaches who are like, oh, I have this awesome opportunity. Like, if everyone else is going to overpay for John Tonji, let me go find players that are better than John Tonji for 1/5 of the price. Like, I'm pumped about that opportunity. And it doesn't seem like, and look, Wisconsin's adding a point guard who I think is a better player than John Tonji for less money than what they're paying John Tonji, supposedly. So I think it can be done. This situation seems really strange and unique and weird, and the timing of it's a little icky. Do you consider this tampering? Because the T word was thrown out heavily from Wisconsin folks to Illinois in the AJ Storr situation. Now, the difference there was AJ Storr was on the Wisconsin roster in the middle of the season when those allegations were quote-unquote occurring. this is the offseason. John Tonji was never officially with New Mexico basketball other than a Tip to Nettets tweet. Is this tampering or is it not?
This is tampering. It's tampering. It's just dirty. Like, it's just, it just doesn't feel good, feel right. And I understand, like, you know, college basketball coaching, college basketball in general just feels wrong. But, like, this just feels, like, more wrong than anything else. Like, why?
Well, here's my thing. I don't really care if you define it as tampering or not. I think it's shitty. But, like, it's so hard to do this without just naming numbers. If the number rumored to be there for John Tonji is accurate, he's getting paid more than Frankie Fiddler's getting paid. Wisconsin wanted Frankie Fiddler. I think Frankie Fiddler is a lot better than John Tonji.
Well, that should be the main point of this segment. Like, yes, is it tampering? Is it not? Is it this? Is it that? What's Greg Gard doing? That should be the real thing here. Like, what this man has done to earn an extension, which is what he just recently got, and this is his first move after losing his extension, is losing his two best players. Whether you want to argue if it's not, it's probably one of their lost two of their better players, and then overpaid for a 2-2 guy from Missouri who was hurt. I get it, but like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
I'd be livid if I was a Wisconsin fan.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It is. This was a really hard segment to start on Fake Positivity Week for me. John Tonji was really good at Colorado State, though. He really was. He was really good there. I just, like, okay, last thing. I mean, if Greg Gard decided he was going to go this route, why wasn't his first call to Frankie Fiddler? And I don't mean to tamper with guys for Greg Gard, but like, if this number was available, why didn't you just pay Frankie Fiddler this in the first place?
That's what I'm saying. That's what this comes back to. What's going on? What is the plan here? What is the way of attacking this? It seems all wrong.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't. All right, I guess we'll see what happens. Maybe John Tonji becomes first team All Big Ten player for Greg Gard in the Big Ten.
Can I say one last thing?
Of course.
I hope John Blackwell's having a good day.
I love John Blackwell. He's going to be good. He's going to be really good.
Really good. You don't got to deal with that at all in your life.
Topic number two. We went viral-ish. Guy, Sleepers Guy, did a great job. We asked him to make a quick little visual for us tonight on Sunday evening, and he quickly whipped it up. We did one of those games that go on social like once every couple months where it's like, oh, like you have $5, $4, $3, $2, $1. Let's pick a player from each tier and who do you have? We did that, but with the transfer portal and with fake numbers assigned to people. So Guy and I spent about an hour workshopping which names belonged in which category. We put 6 guys in the superstar tier for $1 million. We put 12 guys in a $750 tier, 12 guys in a $500 or a $500,000 tier, 12 guys in a $250,000 tier, and basically said, you have to pick 5 guys, you have $3 million to spend. So variety of ways you could do that, the way the numbers worked. You could pick $1 million player, and then you could pick a $750,000 player, 2 $500,000 players and a $250,000 player, or you pick 3 $1 million players. And if you do that, you have $0 left for 2 other spots. We said you have to have Stephen Izzo and Jace Howard for those spots. So of all the responses we've seen a lot of them. As the time that we read this, a couple hours after we tweeted it, it's been viewed 95,000 times, 39 quote tweets, 6 reposts, a bunch of responses. So shout out to Guy for a good little social post for us. But the point is, almost every single answer has been different. I've seen a lot of different ways people have tried to build teams. So without reading all the names, the 6 superstars that were $1 million that we put in a tier were Kadari Richmond, Jeremy Roach, Umar Ballo, Cliff Amorier, John L. Davis, and AJ Storr. And then there's 12 other players in the other three tiers. You can go take a look at those. How did you build your portal roster, Cart? Talk us through what you did, what you paid for each player, and why you put together the team that you did.
Okay, so for starters, this is my team, right? I'm not even trying to do anything. I have no goals. This is a team that I'm going to throw out there on a night-to-night basis that I'm going to love and I'm going to enjoy watching. And I think we're going to win something, but I'm not out here saying we're banner worthy or we're like we have a bunch of TVs in my team's facilities weight room that have Final Four banners going across them. So I just want to throw that out there right now. My team consists of Doug McDaniel, Jordan Pope, Chaz Lanier, Kobe Brea, and Cliff Amarui.
It's a good team.
I got Cliff on there for defense. I got a bunch of just scores, do him guys, 1 through 4. 1 through 3, Kobe Brea is my sharpshooter. But once the three guys who are before him do him offense, they can kick out to guys like, you know, themselves, or they kick out to Brea. I really like my team. I think that is a championship-level team if I'm at the helm.
Didn't we do Kobe Brea video a week ago, though, and you just, like, crapped on him, super skeptical the whole time?
Kobe Brea is my fourth option on this team.
What's the order of your options? Can you put them in order of who's your primary option down to 5?
Yeah, I got Doug, I got Lanier, and I got Pope.
So Doug McDaniel is the primary option on your basketball team.
Because if Doug isn't, I think it'll affect the rest of the team.
Yeah, you lost me at Doug McDaniel is the primary option on your basketball team. You had $3 million to spend, every single available portal player this summer available for the choosing, and your number one option you want to build your team around out of them all is Doug McDaniel.
I mean, when you put it like that.
You could have any player that went in the portal to be your first option, literally any of them, and you're choosing Doug McDaniel.
You're really held up on this first option thing, though. The squad as a whole is tough.
Like, if it resulted in Doug McDaniel being your first option, that's
If I say Jordan Pope's my first option, then we're how are you feeling that?
I think Doug's pissy that he's your second option.
Exactly. That's why
this is a horrible build. It's a horrible build. Can I give you my team?
Yeah, I can't wait for the follow-up on this when everyone's like, oh, yeah, Carter's team is way better than Greg's team.
Do people normally do that?
In my head, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. My team is this. Malik Mack at point guard.
Good value.
I think he's the one of the two best values on the board. You get much better value in that tier of let me look it up real quick. In that 500K tier, you could have gotten Malik Mack or Jordan Pope or Miles Rice or, I guess, Elijah Hawkins as your point guard. To me, that's way better value than one of the $1 million point guards. So I go Malik Mack. I took John L. Davis for a mil. I took Roddy Gale. I took Trey Townsend. I took Robbie Avila. Here was my process. I immediately locked up Mack, Townsend, Avila, who were all in the 500K category. So I had 1.5 left to spend. But I think Townsend, Avila fits perfectly. Townsend's like a physical dude, can also stretch you out. Avila's skilled as shit. I think it would work. I thought about, instead of doing John L. and Gale, I thought about just doing like pure shooters, because instead of doing 1 mil and 500K for those two, I could have gone 750K, Rylan Griffin, Cade Tyson, or Kobe Brea, or Aid Mahaney. I thought about all of those. Ultimately, I landed on John L.'s talent and wanting a true blue chip guy alongside Mac. So yeah, Mack, Davis, Gale, Townsend, Avila. I feel pretty good about that team. What do you think before I have a follow up?
I feel good about your team. I like the way Malik Mack, I think, is, I agree with you on the best value pick. I really like that. I like the way your team fits, to be honest with you. And thank you. I don't mean to give you too much credit here. Can I do one last fun exercise with this?
Of course.
I want us each to pick a player from the tier. Like, we just pick one. I want to know who you think is the best player out of that pool.
Just the best player in the pool.
Best player in the pool.
Okay.
Yeah. First pool. Dari Richmond, Jeremy Roach, Umar Balo, Cliff Amarui, John L. Davis, AJ Storr. This is the superstar $1 million.
And we're just saying starting a team from scratch, who's the best player?
Yes.
Kadari Richmond is the best player.
I think I go Kadari Richmond as well. I agree with you. All right, next one. Kanan Carlisle, Tremont Mark, Gray Osabor, Norchad Omir, Kay Tyson, Jonas Adu, Tyrese Hunter, Doug McDaniel, Aiden Mahaney, Rylan Griffin, Kylan Boswell, Kobe Brea.
Aiden Mahaney is the best player. I know I'm going to get a lot of shit for that. I am doubling and tripling down on my Aiden Mahaney beliefs.
I think Tremont Mark might be the best player in that group.
I don't hate that at Texas.
Yeah, I like that. I think he might be the best player in that group.
I don't hate that at all.
All right, next one, starters, 500K. Agbo, Malik Mack, Robbie Avila, Elijah Hawkins, Chaz Lanier, Danny Wolf, Aiden Holloway, Trey Townsend, Desmond Claude, Jordan Pope, Miles Rice, Roddy Gale.
It's a tough one. This is the toughest tier to determine who I think the best player is.
This is extremely tough.
I think a lot of the guys in here could look a lot different at their new destination compared to what they did last year. I'm going to trust my gut and just speak to the player's talent, and that's it. And I think Malik Mack is the best player.
This is tough. I would agree with you, but I'm gonna go different on this one. I think Lanier is the best player.
Really?
I do. Yeah.
Not a lot of Lanier picks in this exercise from people that were interacting with us.
Yeah, Lanier's my favorite player in college basketball.
Okay.
And then last one, solid pieces. Sky Clark, Terrace Reed, Ben Humidifier, Omaha Ballou, Robbie Anderson, Max Shugla, Chucky Hepburn, Frankie Fiddler, Trey White, Mason Gillis, Jamal Mosh, Mashburn, AJ Hogard.
Who's better between Chucky and AJ? Because that's my answer. But
Chucky.
Who's better? Chucky's better than AJ?
Yeah.
All right, then I'll take Chucky. No, I won't. Sky Clark's better than Chucky. I'm going Sky Clark.
I'm taking Sky Clark too. Yeah. Second pick in there would be Ben Humidifier.
Yeah, that whole group is gross. Honestly, in hindsight, I feel great about my team because I didn't pick anyone from that group.
Yeah, it's the same here. So I guess we can both hang our head on that.
I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
All right, that was a fun exercise. Let us know. Go to Sleepers Media Twitter. That's where the post is. Let us know. Quote tweet it. Respond to it. Pick your team. I think outside of our two teams, the team I saw twice, the only team I saw people put twice, was basically my team, but with the two shooters. It was Malik Mack, Trey Townsend, Robbie Avila, and then it was various variations of Kobe Brea, Cade Tyson, and Rylan Griffin. I think that's my actual vote for the best way to play this game. I think that team's slightly better than what I picked. And some people said it won't guard a soul, but it'll score. We like that at Sleepers
yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. If you didn't see, I threw Cliff on there just as a defense of like, here you go, play some defense. The rest of my team is all about putting the orange thing in the 10-foot thing.
This was a really fun exercise, though, in showing how many different ways it is to play the portal. Like, that is something I don't know. I would encourage people to go through and like look at the responses to us, because you can see like a bazillion different ways that people, if they were basketball coaches, would build their team, and many are very different. Some people went very defensive oriented. Some people went very offensive oriented. I do want to scroll through and just read a couple of people's teams from like people that interact with the show on a regular basis. If I can get to them. Kevin Sweeney picked Kadari Richmond, Max Shulga, Rylan Griffin, Benham Richis, and Jonas Adu. He says positional size, elite shooting, rim protection. Or no, rim pressure from Kadari and rim protection from Adu. How do you feel about that team from Kevin Sweeney?
Sweeney's got a team full of players that I think clutch their purses on the subway.
Is that a case of Sweeney getting too cute? That was my
Yeah, I think so.
Is my read on it. Which, if Sweeney gets cute, I think there's a good chance that it works, but I think it was him getting cute. CBB Content, the big CBB Content Twitter account, chose Malik Mack, Kadari Richmond, AJ Storr, Frankie Fiddler, Terrace Reed.
I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like Terrace Reed, that was the only one I saw where Terrace Reed got picked.
I mean, the first three were like, that team's cold, but then obviously you had to give up some value at the end. But I like the strategy of having a couple $1 million players. I didn't see many people do that. Riley Davis, Riley Friday's own. Mac, Shulga, Store, Townsend, Adu. A lot of Max Shulga love here.
You know what the one underrated thing is that wasn't addressed enough? You're actually getting pretty good value with Jace being $0 if you play it right.
There was one person in the comments that said Steven Izzo's getting so disrespected here in the same tier as Jace Howard. It's like, have you watched either of these people? I don't think
that's that movie against Rutgers was tough.
It was. Ryan Hammer, shot Ryan Hammer, great creator in college basketball space and NBA stuff. Says Kylan Boswell, Miles Rice, Cade Tyson, Benham Richis, Norchad Omier.
I like that team.
He had a leftover 250K also. He says it'll be put towards their travel to the Maui Invitational.
Oh, they're going up in Maui.
Yeah, going crazy. And then the final one I want to read, Brian Ralph. Shout out to B. Ralph. Malik Mack, Aiden Holloway, Kobe Brea, Trey Townsend, Jonas Adu.
How much do you love that backcourt?
I don't like Aiden Holloway next to Malik Mack. I don't.
You don't? I feel like you would get into like the undersized backcourt right there.
Yeah, but I think they get grumpy with each other very quickly.
Yeah, I can see that. Also, pulling rank moving forward, we're never going to refer to Ryan as B-Ralph.
Well, that's his Twitter name, B-Ralph33.
Oh, it was? Okay, sorry. I thought that was just a nickname you were handing out. I hate that.
No.
It's on me. Hands up.
All right, okay. Yeah, all right. Fun exercise. Topic number three. Hey, got a question for you. What's happening with that extra scholarship at Purdue?
Yeah, it's getting kind of close to the deadline, isn't it?
Okay. Again, it's fake positivity week for me. I'm really pushing the bounds topics. I feel like we've waited long enough to try to buy Purdue time this offseason, right? It's April 28th. The season ended the first week of April. We've given this 3 weeks to try to resolve itself without making any content about it. If we had tried to make content about it in the last weeks, I can guarantee you people would have been like, you're making something out of nothing. Stop. Nobody cares. Purdue knows what it's doing. That's all that matters. Yada, yada. I would have agreed with that, which is why we didn't make any of this. The portal deadline is like 2 days away. I'm not saying anyone's going to portal. In fact, I don't think anyone is going to portal. But the simple reality here is Purdue basketball has one too many scholarship players. If everyone who was on scholarship last year that has not said they're leaving opts to return, and everyone in the freshman class comes in on scholarship, they have one too many scholarship players. Something has to give. They have known something would have to give months ago. The reason we're having this conversation now is the portal entry deadline is 2 days away, and we still don't have resolution. What do you make of this?
So, when you brought up this topic at first, I was trying to think, what's the benefit of waiting to the last minute, right? Is there a benefit to waiting to the last minute? I could not find one. Do you have one on the top of your head where there's like a benefit to like just waiting to the last minute? Because in my eyes, this, you know, outside looking in, like, this is an easy fix. You take one of the guys like maybe Brian Waddell and you're like, either leave or get off scholarship or something like that. I mean, he's a legacy guy. I could see him being fine with being off scholarship. I just, it's very odd given kind of how, you know, at least with the Purdue fans we talked to, they have this plan that's in place, right? They know exactly what's going to go on. Everything that's happening, they knew it was going to happen. And I'm not saying I disagree with that. Maybe you do, but it's just, it's very odd to me that we're getting to this point and they're over the scholarship still, like even with all the people leaving. And there's repercussions to that, by the way, too.
I would call it unique. I would call it unique. It's not currently a problem, but if we get 2 days from now and we still don't know what's going on, then it's like a, what's going on? Like at a certain point you need an answer, and Purdue people can tell us, no, they don't owe you an answer. That's true. But just the way this works, like this is such a unique situation. It's very rare that any team in college basketball oversigns. It just is. Like, most coaches won't recruit to be oversigned. And if they do recruit to be oversigned, there's transition out of the program, which it's a good thing for Purdue that they don't have attrition. It's a great thing. It's a sign of how healthy your program is. You just went to the national championship game. You're going to be loaded again next year. Nobody's denying that. It's in a great space.
Right.
But that comes with side effects, which comes with, like, what is going to happen here? And it's fair to talk about. It's fair to speculate. Now, again, part of why we haven't talked about as much in the offseason is because we don't want to speculate on players' names. I don't want to come on here and be like, well, this guy should leave or this guy might want to leave. That's not the game I want to play. Something's got to give at a certain point. And if we are looking at the routes here, the most reasonable ones, I'll give you everyone. Not even the reason. I'll give you what I see as the four paths forward here. You have Brian Waddell, who's a legacy guy who could be asked to move to walk-on status. If that happens, he would have a decision, yes or no. If he says yes, great. Everyone's happy, and here you go. You're good. If he says no, he probably leaves the program and looks elsewhere. Second option would be something similar with Caleb First. Caleb First is a better basketball player than Brian Waddell. Caleb First was a top 100 recruit. He started games on a really good Purdue team 2 years ago. I would be pretty stunned if Matt Painter asked Caleb First to go to walk-on status. But the reality was Caleb First's situation, from what we've been told, I believe he's in med school.
Yeah.
I don't know where that leaves him. I don't know where that leaves his basketball career, given what happened last year. And who knows? There's some status there that could have some wiggle room. The third route would be one of the freshmen. Purdue has a 6-man incoming freshman class. It's a great class. Out of those six, realistically, two of them are going to play next year on paper. And if somebody pleasantly surprises from that group of four that I said aren't, that's great. Hopefully it happens. Could happen. But also, you don't need four freshmen that aren't going to play. So could one of them take a prep year? Not saying any of them are going to decommit from Purdue. But there is a path here where one of them say, you know what, I'm not going to enroll next year. Give me one more year, and then I'll come a year from now. That could happen.
You might have to enlighten me on this. If someone redshirts, that counts towards scholarships, correct?
Correct.
Okay, see, because, yeah.
But this would be a reclass. One of these kids could go to a prep school rather than to Purdue next season. It's not
gotcha. See, the thing is, I don't even one, who would that kid be? Two, would they be willing to do that? Maybe they would, because, you know, it's just different with – Paint's got away with people. He can make them redshirt. He can make them do whatever. They always have a plan. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just, for me, I just don't understand why it's gotten to the point where the deadline's here. And it seems that it's an easy fix to this, in my opinion, and it hasn't been executed yet.
Well, I haven't said the fourth path, Carl. There's a fourth path. And this is why I think we're having this discussion, because if it was this easy, I think it might have been announced by now. There's a fourth path.
And that is?
Somebody unexpected hits the portal at the very last second.
On the count of three, let's say.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing speculating names. I'll be stunned if this player's a starter. I'd be stunned. I don't think we can name those names. I Trey Kaufman, Red, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer are going nowhere, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
To me, that's like, I was saying this in the Discord. there's two things going on here. One, Purdue hasn't announced anything. And two, the Purdue insiders that, like, we do pay attention to, like, there are Purdue insiders. None of them seem to know what's going on. And normally, like, they're able to hint at things that are going to happen, and they're usually pretty correct. So to me, like, if the most straightforward thing that was going to happen here is Brian Waddell moves to walk-on, if that was what was going to happen and it had already been agreed upon, I think at minimum the insiders would be hinting at that. And if the insiders aren't hinting at that, maybe Purdue basketball would just announce it. Like, if it's done, if Brian Waddell says, I'm ready to walk on, to me, Purdue basketball would literally just announce, like, this is our roster for next season. We're good. And right. I get that that's not as big as, like, a superstar, but it's something, and the fan base would gravitate towards it. It'd be good PR. So to me, like, there are some ominous smoke signals here of, like, it's not that straightforward. And that doesn't mean a surprise star is going to hit the portal, but it does mean, like, okay, this might not be figured out yet, and there's, like, 48 hours left to figure it out.
So what do you think is going to be the outcome of all this? Like, why is it just going to be, I feel like, just Waddell just going to be a regular, just not a scholarship?
So here's – I think it's – just put yourself in Painter's shoes. If you're Matt Painter, your plan A is just tell Brian Waddell, hey, man, we're oversigned. You're welcome to stay, but you're not going to be on scholarship. Take your time. Come up with your decision. But if you're Matt Painter and that's the obvious outcome here, I don't think you do that until you know the portal window's closed.
Why, though?
Because he doesn't need to determine who's on scholarship and who's not by May 1st.
Cross that bridge when you get there.
If Matt Painter had already said, hey, Brian Waddell, you're walking on, and then 2 days later, a good rotation player says, I'm not here anymore, then you didn't even need to do that dance with Brian Waddell. And obviously, he can figure it out. But to me, that's like the finality of our guys in the portal or not will allow things to move really quickly. That's not me saying I expect anyone to hit the portal, because it doesn't make sense. Nobody from Purdue should hit the portal at the very last second if they weren't going to portal 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But to me, that's why we haven't heard some of these. Paint wants finality on it before he can actually move on Brian Waddell.
But Paint knows what he's doing.
Paint always knows what he's doing.
The hashtag Painter plan, it's going just as they expected.
Make your formal prediction. What happens? How do they get the scholarship gone?
I think it's just going to be a simple fix. It's going to be a player just being on the team, just taking off scholarship.
But they stay with the program?
But they stay with the program.
Who do you think it will be?
Your twin.
Waddell. Okay.
Yeah.
I hope that is what happens.
And or he leaves. I bet it's something to do with him.
I hope that is the outcome that happens. I think the fact that that hasn't been totally figured out yet makes me think he might turn down the invitation to stay. Also, is that an invitation? Is that the right word? Like, hey, Brian, you're welcome to stay here, but I'm taking away your scholarship.
Yeah, it's not an invitation. That's like an ultimatum, I feel like.
Is this a classy move?
Yes, because he's giving him the option. Could just tell him to hit the bricks.
So,
and you wouldn't blame Paint.
So oversigning the scholarship limit and then not honoring a player's scholarship through the remainder of his career is a classy move?
Well, when you put it like that.
Wasn't that a big thing? Like, Painter would never not honor a four-year player.
Well, it's on-court class.
Oh.
That's administrative work.
Brian Waddell his whole family would give up everything to be in a Purdue uniform, right? Like, they'll give up a scholarship. Yeah. Willy-nilly.
Yeah. Which is why are we at this point? That's what it comes down to for me. Like, why is this a discussion? Why are you making us discuss this?
I'm making us discuss
this. No, not you. Not you. No. Purdue is forcing us to discuss this, in my opinion.
I'm so bad at Fake Positivity Week. I'm sorry, Purdue fans. You guys are going to end up right. You're always, you guys have, when have you not been right in the last year? Seriously. You guys are always right. I'm the wrong one. And I can own that. That's okay. One big thing presented by nobody. What do you got?
My one big thing is that I want to send a shout out to Long Drink. These are delicious. I didn't know. I tried the variety pack a little bit ago. Shout out to Borzello. Borzello is the one who told me about this Long Drink. I didn't know it. I don't know if this is new or not, but there's a peach flavor now, and it's incredible. Like super, super incredible. So I want to send a shout out to Long Drink peach flavor. You guys did good things getting this beverage on the market because it is absolutely refreshing, delicious, and everything you expect out of a nice beverage.
Shout out to Long Drink. My one big thing is I want Vlad Golden to hurry up. I'm getting annoyed. That's all.
That's it?
That's all.
Oh, you'll be okay. That's nothing to worry
about. I had to get that off my chest. Just like, can we, like, what are we waiting for?
He's running around here like he's Pac?
Or is he like going to class or some shit? Like, what's happening here? I'm getting worried.
You don't have to worry.
I might have to worry.
You don't have to worry.
I might have to worry. We'll see you tomorrow.
Where's he going to go?
Summer school. I don't know.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.